As beneficiaries of UMS Right, we want to understand those who are before us so that we can help those who follow after. As told through the eyes of supporters and faculty, students and grandparents, we know this podcast will help all of us understand how and why UMS Right has been so successful. This is The Right Way. Great to actually see everybody. I'm so excited that we have a chance to not only continue to do these podcasts that have been so really great for us, but also now we're going to be able to record those and not only just, you know, not only just for the words, but now they're going to be able to go back and watch these. And for all of you listeners who are tuning in and being able to watch us, we have, it's number 40, Avery, number 40. And so I couldn't think of a better person to hit that mile marker of 40. And also the first time, you know, you're going to be able to watch this live, than to bring on the one and only, the legend, Mr. Pat Galley. Coach, I've been asked throughout the last couple of years, when are you going to do Pat? When are you going to do Pat? And I kept saying, look, let's wait. Cause I know, you know, he's thinking about, doing some other things during the day, with retirement. So I think now as we enter into the spring season, your final track season as the head coach it's a great time for us to sit down and talk. So I know this is not something that you sort of dreaming about, man, we appreciate the chance to sit down with you and talk through, you know, your career and all kind of things, Pat Galley, brother.
Well, it's nice to be here. And I'm glad you, you know, you have the camera work and you wanted Beauty and the Beast here. Yeah. So
I asked Galley this morning, I was like, I told you you're supposed to dress up for today. He's like, I did, man. Hey, I dressed up.
I got on long pants. I mean, really.
You know, so many things to talk about. You know, we were talking earlier. I have your start date as August of 1972. So, you know, it's 51 years. And prior to that, I know you did some work at some other schools at Blount High School. But golly, Coach, it's hard for me. I think I said this year at the opening of school, or last year, whenever it was that we talked about it, maybe this year. You know, there aren't a lot of people who have that loyalty and that ability to be at one organization for that many years. And that's quite a testament to who you are.
Well, I don't know about me, but it has a testament to the place here. Mm. I mean, it's a really great place to work. Had a lot of fun. You know, it's can be challenging, yeah, which it's supposed to be. And it's the job I've always wanted to do, is coach and teach and everything. And, you know, things have changed here. It's not like, and that's one thing about teaching, it changes every day. But, I mean, this place has changed a lot since I came. Where we're sitting right now, mm-hmm, was a parking lot
when
I got here. I think I parked right over there.
Because that was the entrance of the, you know, you go through the threshold past the weight room, that was the back door entrance, I came here in the early 90s.
But. Yeah, there was nothing here. It was cornfield right back there.
Did you ever hunt in that field right beside?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, before I did the clock for the basketball a lot, so you had to hang around here after practice and stuff. And I'd go back and you see a lot of doves back here now, but back then, since that was all woods and little short trees and everything, there were thousands of them back there. And there was a cornfield, really was, and a hermit that lived it's called him a hermit, and
There was somebody that lived back there?
Yeah.
Really?
Had a little cabin. And the poor fellow, actually, he died in his cabin or whatever the heck it was, little thing.
Yeah.
Caught on fire. He was smoking in bed.
Oh, hey.
And he died back there in the cornfield.
That's amazing. I mean, I don't think of all the times I've talked to you, I've ever heard that. I didn't even know that.
Well, yeah, I know.
It's right where the soccer field is, or Urquhart field is now, or farther back. The Radcliffe Field or more toward the road?
It's right. It's kind of like in between where the Reed Field is and that, because it ran north-south. You could have played a game on it.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
You talk about change, you know, what you've seen. How many headmasters have you worked for? Like, not a whole lot. Like Tony and Sigily?
There's Huckabee. Okay. He was who I came in with. Okay. And then there was Hanks and Henson.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's fine. Sidgley.
Sidgley Wood.
Oh, yeah, David.
Yeah. David. Yeah. So it's more than two or three.
Yeah, it is. I didn't even think about it that way.
Yeah.
But you've also had a chance to work. I mean, probably Tony was your longest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the longest.
What are you going to do after 50 plus years coaching, doing exactly the way you said it, doing, I got the job I wanted. So what's next for Coach Galley or Pat?
I don't really know. My hunting buddy, Lightcap, he's always out trying to get me to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps telling me, we got a lot to do, which means I got to do a lot of work for him. And, but other than that, I don't play golf well. I don't play golf well enough to say that I play golf.
I'm
not good.
Not good, but you're not bad.
Yes. And and then I'm going to get you to show me all of your fishing spots.
Holes.
Yeah, you've been talking so big this year. Man. Yeah. So
I told the board last year, a year and a half ago, I guess now. And I was like, I feel like after 28 years here, I've kind of finally arrived. And I was saying that to them, and they were just kind of looking at me like, what's he talking about? And I said, I feel like I'm really a part of the school because I didn't go to school here, but now I'm really ingrained into who we are. And they kept listening. And I said, because past Sunday, I got that phone call at 8 o'clock at night from Coach Galley. And he said, hey, man, do you want to take a boat ride? And I was like, no, I don't want to take a boat ride, man. It's like 8 o'clock. He's like, well, can you take a boat ride?
Yes.
Will you come in your boat and see if you can pick me up? And that to me was, and I know now that I wasn't your first call. I really thought I was your first call, but.
You were my best call because you came.
Because I came.
Yeah, the Coast Guard didn't, the tow the boat didn't, the guy right over there at the bait shop didn't. You came.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
So we go out and he's not, but the story grows, you probably wouldn't have made it through the evening had I not come out there.
No,
it wasn't quite a terrible circumstance. Get out there and I see Coach Galley and we go and we put my boat in the water. Of course, half my stuff works, half doesn't, just like with your boat, like every boat seems. And then you're going, you got this flashlight and you go, you got to stay left of that white post. I was like, I still to this day haven't seen a white post out there, but, it was a good thing my depth finder stopped working because we pretty much ran aground. But, man, we made it out. Got the boat out and everything.
Got the boat out and everything. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the seas were...
the seas were rough.
Oh, rough. It was like glass that day. But it was nice. It was a pretty
day. It's not the first time I've been out there with you, though.
No.
You took me on my first duck hunt in the Delta.
Yes, and you killed a nice duck that I had...
Didn't even mean to. Yeah, didn't even know what I was doing. It was a pintail.
Pintail, yes. That I'd been hunting pintails for years.
Well...
Yep. I just needed to bring the right person.
It was like... It was me and you and Steve Eberzabel.
Yep. Eberzabel was... He was the key to duck hunting. He came in from Louisiana, and he loved it, and he didn't know where he was going. So I said, well, I know where I'm going. I just can't get there. And he came in with all the accoutrements.
Yeah.
He was the first one to have one of the Go Devil mud boat things.
Yeah, so, I remember having that. I had no idea what that motor was. It's basically a tiller.
Yes.
That pushes you around through that.
The bad part about it was whenever we came in, game warden came because he'd never seen one of those motors either.
Oh, wow.
So he came... Every time we came in, because you could hear us from all over the place, like an airboat coming in, and he'd come over and ask us all about it and tell us, hey, where you been? Because, he was checking on everything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not that we were ever doing anything illegal.
You very rarely even killed one to show.
Well, that's true. That's true.
No, we've had some good times on the water because we spent a lot of time down at Gulf Shores, too, at Little Lagoon. We did a bunch of fishing down there with you and your grandkids, so... It's definitely, I think back through the years and, we will, there'll be a huge void in our school with you retiring. But let's tell our viewers, man, a lot of these people that listen and now watch. So one thing I told you yesterday, I noticed as we look back on the 39 or 40 that we produced and put out, Avery, I got to thinking how many of them that we've talked to were track athletes, and it just dawned on me for whatever reason. And I was like, I'm thinking about all these different physicians and the people have done some crazy cool things and in business and in medicine and in law and in art. I mean, it just it goes on and on. And so many of them, Coach, they had you as a coach. And I mean, that's really, I don't even think we can put into scaffolding how important that is. And why is that? Because you're a track guy, but we're going to talk about football. But why does the sport of track, right, track and field, why is it so attractive to so many people who then go on to be just really successful?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with it's an individual sport. We make it into the team idea, yeah, and everything, but if they're not, you know, disciplined enough themselves, you know, when you're out on a, you know, 2 mile race, or you know, you're on a 3 mile cross country run or something, you got to be mentally disciplined on your own. And then, you know, to be a shot putter, you know, anybody can stand in a circle, and we've got plenty of them that have stood in a circle and tossed it on out there. And you know, if you're big and strong and everything, you can be halfway decent at it. To be good at it, though, I mean, we always call them technique events. So, you know, our technique events is what keeps us in the running everywhere we go. Mm. And our kids are willing to put in the extra work. They want to, you know, be good at it. They don't want to go out there and, you know, make a fool of themselves, mm-hmm, and all, yeah, that kind of stuff. And it's tough. I mean, you know, you think, oh, shot putter, you know. But, you know, it's like being on stage.
Oh, yeah.
You walk out there and everybody's standing around. You don't think there's many. But I mean, some of these meets out here, we have 200-300 people. Yeah. So you got 70-80 people standing around watching you throw the shot put with, you know, against, you know, your school rival and stuff. And so, I mean, it's a mental discipline, I think, that, mm-hmm, really hurts. And I always give credit to the classrooms. You know, our teachers expect so much from them. They come out of the classroom, you know, responding the same way. You know, they're going to try and do the best they can, or they don't hang around. Mm. I mean, you know, and then, you know, you have the gifted athletes that they can get so far on their own, but, you know, everybody's got gifted athletes.
Sure.
So, yeah, you know, in order to, you know, really show up, you have to keep going a little bit extra. And, you know, our gifted athletes, you know, they're used to being pushed in the classroom, so they're not too far off of that when you do all the other stuff.
That's a good point. You know, it's the when you get your athletic teams, your programs aligned with your academic teachers and the programs, where it's not one wagging the other, you know, but they work, you know, mm-hmm, together like that. That's a really good point. I probably not a reasonable, you know, an obvious answer. I just noticed that we were talking to more and more people, and I'm like, so tell me about your experience at UMass. And I'm like, yeah, I ran for Coach Galley, or, you know, high jump. And I was like, man, it just seemed like everybody we talked to had that experience. And now we've talked to people with football. We've talked, sure, to people with baseball, tennis. And I just noticed a lot of track. But I also know that so many of those students that we've talked to, they also had a vested interest in this school. Maybe they were in the band. I remember talking about the Brigadier General Grover Jackson from 1958. And one of the things he remembers is participation in the band. He said, yeah, I was in the band. But it's those co-curriculars that go along with that academic guy, sure, that really make a UMS Wright person. You good with that?
Oh, yeah. I think we have well-rounded people. And I always look back and you kind of see it, you know, when they're seventh and eighth grade, they have the cliques, and you know, then you can watch it every year after you. The same thing. People think it's so strange that a sixth grader is pushing his buddy over there. Well, the sixth grader is going to push each other. Yeah. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, like physically push.
Yeah.
They're going to have their hands on their friend, acquaintance. It, yeah, doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
But as they get further along in school, they get, you know, they're branching out into other things and everything. But by the time they're a senior, they've done so much together. You see a bond that's between the classes. I mean, you know, the classmates.
Right, yeah.
And they get out of here feeling that bond. And when you talk about so many people running track and field and everything, it's such a diversified sport. Yeah. You know, like yeah. we were talking about, we've got a shot putter over here, and we've got a 110-pound sprinter over mm-hmm. here. Well, you know, they hardly ever see each other, but now they're on the same team.
Depending and, on each
yeah,
other, right?
And dependent, yeah, and dependent on each other. And I think we do a good job of going out and somebody's walking the hall and they're mm-hmm. not doing anything. Come yeah. on out and try
Absolutely,
this out. And they,
yeah.
and they look at us like, I can't do anything. Well, how do you know? You know, we've got 17 different things. You yeah. know, you may not be a high jumper, but, you know, you may be a triple jumper or, you know, you may be a miler or whatever.
Coach, I think that and your commitment to doing that probably has redirected more lives of people than you probably even know. I really do. I just think a lot of kids that I can recall, you know, that found their place. You know, everybody wants that sense of belonging, right? And it's necessary. I think so many of them found that because they found value in who they are or what they could do. And it may be different than a sibling or whatever. I think about that with my own kids, right? And my older son playing certain sports and my younger son saying, I want to do something. And it ends up, you know, having a good career throwing a javelin. I'd never even picked one up personally, right? So I know he didn't get it from me. But,
well,
but
not
that
too many
sense
people
of belonging
have. Yeah.
And, you know, that's a big part of who he is now. Yeah. And I think that's happened to countless students. And I think that's important to say that one of the things that I have always taken from you is you've done that. And I think I even remember a long time ago hearing people say, well, if you don't make baseball or you don't make a soccer team, you always go to track. You know, and that was kind of like this step side, you know, stepsister, stepbrother kind of thing. Well, if you're not good enough for this sport, you go to track. Well, they found out very quickly, right, that the demands and the expectations for this program are equal, if not superior, to the others. That's what I've seen. And asking somebody to come try, you know, I think about pole vaulters and stuff. Oof. You develop more pole vaulters, and you got to have a certain one that you talk to in the hall and say, you know what, I think you might be. How do you do that?
The best way we used to do it, and we, you know, pole vaulters, I always call pole vaulters crazy. I always tell them, hey, the girls always love pole vaulters because they're nuts, you know. And I used to get pole vaulters when we had the diving boards, and we'd have the tall board. And the guys who would get up there and do all the stupid stuff off the diving board, you know, there's your pole vaulter. You know, he's up there doing the backflip. Yeah, he's up going upside down. He's belly flopping, ha, 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 and he gets up and does it again. Come on out this afternoon. I got something you'll like. And, you know, a lot of them, I mean, seriously, that's where I got, probably 6 or 7.
Who's the best pole vaulter you've had? And I know, give me a couple of them. I mean, obviously you've had plenty that competed at the next level, right?
Donnell Hill. Yeah, he's 16. He's one of the first 16-foot vaulters in the state of Alabama. He held the state overall record. And
let me tell you something about Donnell, too, for our listeners and stuff, right? He was this, I think we go to Stanford?
Yeah.
To jump at Stanford. Yeah. I mean, this is a legitimate dude here now.
Yes.
But he's also the lead in the play.
Yeah. Let me tell you.
I mean, it was crazy. I'm like,
he was our student government president.
SGA president.
Yeah, 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 great kid.
Yeah.
And got him out there because he was a gymnast. And, you know, he was out, and I was just like, come on out here and try this. And he was always missing the pit for his first couple of years.
Oh, man.
He would, no, I mean, he'd.
Like, literally.
Yeah, he'd go up in there and. He'd
fall the wrong way or fall.
Yeah.
That's scary.
He missed the pit up at Alabama in the state meet. And like they had the pole vault pitch, which I don't understand why they did it at a college, and it was right up beside the stands, and he hit the fence. So he didn't get to finish his vault, and I guess it was his sophomore year. But he got hurt regularly his freshman, sophomore, junior year, and when I say regularly, he was always banging something up. But that's the way vaulters are. Mm. And like I said, they're nuts. They do it. I'll be all right. I'll do it again. Yeah. Okay, come on.
Still that way today. You've got one of your vaulters is a young lady that's that, you know, her dad ran for you and Dr. McMurphy.
Yes,
right. Bancroft was an incredible runner. And I think now his daughter's one
still
of
still is. Yeah, she Madeline McMurphy. She, yeah, she was. she was second in the state last year in the indoor, and we went up this year. And she vaulted, didn't get to go to the state meet because it seemed that she had like a little crack in her sternum. I mean, when I say a little crack, it was the bone was here and the other bone was here. And she's still saying, it hurts a little bit, but I think I can do this. And then they took the X-ray, and they were like no. Holy cow. And I can relate to that
right
now.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, but yeah, she's a really good one. But she is dynamic also. She's, you know, one of those ones. I'll keep going. Like right when we looked at the X-ray, her mom sent us a picture of the X-ray, and she was out for practice. So we were looking at her and went, ooh, come here, madam.
Yeah.
We didn't show her the picture because I wanted mom to tell her. So she's like, I'm all right. Well, we just want you to go home because your mom needs to see you before you come back to practice. She goes over and does a cartwheel.
Oh, of course.
Cartwheel on the thing going to their car. I'm like, there you go. Yeah, I'm telling you, pole vaulter's a different breed now.
You talked about, you know, track and field having so many events and stuff. Do you have a favorite? I mean, it's something that just appeals. Do you like the strategy of anything more than the other?
I kind of like the middle distances, I guess. Okay. They're fun to watch. I like the 800 because, I mean, the 400 is, I tell a football coach, I said, here's your good spot to find a football player. Mm-hmm. If they will lay it on a line in 400 meters, then they got some guts because that's a tough race. But then you throw in the 800, which is now basically, you know, you're doubling a 400, of course. And but you have to throw the strategy in, too. Mm-hmm. You can't just, in a 400, you know, you just – kind of gutting through.
So 400, you're just pulling it and going and for as long as you can. And 800 is more strategies of holding back or moving forward or how you're doing it. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, you're running now, if you're going to be a good 800 meter person, you're running it kind of like the 400, but you're right. You're not going to be able to hold it. And you can't hold it in a 400 either. You have to use strategy there. But I like it. It's a smoother race and it's just fun to watch it. Plus, you know, if you're a good 800 guy, you're probably a good 400, and you probably run the mile and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But and they train hard. If you're going to be good at it, you know, that's somebody that's dedicated.
Oh, these kids around here, I'm sure at every school, I mean, even with your workouts and Garrett Schumacher's, all the things y'all do, they're still running around here. You know, it's just, and that makes me think about them. As you said, I know we talked to Charles a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, and we were talking about that. And I was talking about him. I mean, I've been watching him since he was old enough to feel like walk to running around this school. And, you know, they're just built, differently, man, you know, and they're going to take that same concept. We had Robert Hope in here a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they're going to take that same mentality just about into everything that they do. And it's really cool to see.
Yeah. Big or little Robert?
Both. Talked to both of them.
Good. Yeah. Both of them. That type of mentality, both of them. Yes.
And, we talked to both of them, and we haven't. By the time you hear this one, I guess it'll probably be released. But it was interesting too. His perspective on how good he was. You remember how good he was when he was here? I mean, everything was Robert Hope. I mean, he was really good. I mean, he did some great things. And he's like, now I get up to Boston, and I'm like, ooh, there's some good runners at the Ivy League. You know, so that happens to every. Everything.
Oh, yeah, every sport.
I mean, what year were you the head football coach here? What years was that? Do you remember?
80, right after Ken won the state. That was real.
Yeah, you followed the state like follow champion.
But I had some great kids.
Were you on that staff?
Mm-mm.
No, you weren't?
No. Gordon Duty and I, we did the JV that year.
Okay,
And then he left like the week before the season started.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that late. He took the job at South?
No, he took the job at in Missouri.
Okay.
At, Southern Missouri, something I forgot. And I was at the national summer track meet in Gainesville, Florida. Mm. And I had talked to the principal here and some people about, I'd love to do it because, you know, I'd coached football for 20 years and, you know, and I said, and that was the year we merged.
Okay.
So that was the first year that it was boy-girl. So, you know, the girls were coming over for the first time and all this kind of stuff. We were the first year of UMS. I was the first UMS Wright football coach.
I don't think I knew
after 130 years, I'm the first.
You were the first one. That's right.
First one. And, but I got the job down there on Sunday afternoon, they called me and said, "Hey, you know, we want you to do well." Practice started on Monday, so I got in a borrowed car from the guy who was over the program, and we were down in Gainesville. Mm. That was a 6-hour ride.
Yeah, at least I would think.
I made in about 4.5 hours. Because
started football the next morning. I'm sure it was 2 days. You're probably going first thing in the morning. But
yeah, we had a meeting because nobody knew who. I mean, didn't have a staff. Tony was on. I mean, Dr. Havard was on staff.
Who else was on there? Do you remember? I mean,
he was on there. I had a guy named Pat Thomas who played linebacker up at Auburn.
Okay.
And guy Mike Jacobs.
Yeah, Coach Jacobs. Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
I mean,
University of Mobile.
We threw together a staff, but it was pretty good.
Wow.
Dr. Havard's a good coach.
Man, he was a college football player, junior college football player, which is, you kind of got to be the baddest dude around to go do that.
Yeah,
I think offensive line, right?
Yes, offensive line. He's,
that's crazy.
I tower over him.
I think both of y'all right now.
No way.
I really think I do. I mean, I was walking
it's
by.
A good thing we're sitting down.
That's always been me and, yeah.
That's coach what I've always Cal. Had. I've always, told Coach Kittrell out of South that, you know, how much I want to get that on record that I still am taller than you, Kittrell.
I love it. Now, speaking of baseball, you were not a track guy, I mean, or really a football guy. I mean, I know you played all the sports, but you were a college baseball player.
Yeah, I played out at South.
Yeah, baseball was your kind of your deal, right? Now, you're not a UMS guy.
No, I went to McGill.
Went to McGill. And then ended up at South playing baseball.
Yeah. My dad's coaching at Spring Hill.
Yeah, your dad didn't even want, so the field up at Spring Hill College, the baseball field, is actually named Stan Galley Field. Yeah. I don't know if people know that or not, but named in honor of your father. Not long ago, probably 6 or 8 years ago, probably.
It's been longer than that now.
No,
it's been
come
a pretty
on.
Good while. Yeah.
Okay.
And but I think it's dual name now with
guy that just retired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good.
He was there for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did a good job, built that program.
But we were a lot better than Spring Hill.
Of course you were. You're a big Division I, right?
My brothers played at Spring Hill. We played against them all the time. Yeah.
So you had brothers in college the same time you were?
Mm-hmm.
Close to the same age?
My younger brother, Tommy.
Okay.
And then my older brother, Skip. And my youngest brother, Jerry, who Skip and Jerry were both doctors. And Jerry went to got his doctor's degree from, or got his MD from South.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where did y'all grow up around here, Coach? Or in Mobile?
I haven't gone very far. I live about a mile from school now, and I live down on Dolphin Street.
Okay.
Right between Monterey and Sims Avenue, right there.
Okay.
But I grew up there.
Yeah, you haven't had to move a lot of that. That's good.
No.
You like it? You find something you like?
I like Midtown. I like travel and everything else, but Mobile's my place. I mean, you can hunt, fish, everything's within half an hour.
Kind of crazy.
Anything.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think, you know, talking with people about that, I don't think they quite understand. You're right, just the opportunities that are here.
Yeah.
Especially for somebody like us, that we enjoy the outdoors. We like to fish and hunt and walk and whatever. Boat. I like doing all that stuff, too.
Boats,
let's go back and talk a little bit about that football experience here. You know, because it's kind of unusual when you move away from a head coaching position that you ended up staying on as long, and then, you know, you continue your career here. I just think that's interesting because you coached for how long were you the head coach? Was it 1 year?
Four years.
4 years. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, and then, well, I mean, I wasn't around, you know, I was, that was in the 80s. I was still in high school because I think you came here in 1972, as I said.
Yes. That was the year you were born.
No, I was born in 69.
Oh, excuse me.
I was already making my round, man.
That was 72. The year I graduated from college. That was my first year coaching at Theodore.
Well,
so
I mean,
I was a head baseball coach when you were born.
That's right. So you got the head job out there, just graduated from South. That's pretty cool, too.
Yeah. I had some Joe Downey.
I bet.
Three sprang triplets, Torrey Revel. I was thinking about that. There was some good ball players.
What got you to UMS?
Eddie Holmes.
Okay.
Yep. He and I coached. He played with Dad at Spring Hill.
Okay.
And he was coaching at McGill, but I was coaching at McGill when I was a freshman at South. They asked me to come in, you know, like we do here.
Like we do. Help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was helping with the JV team down there. Well, he came the next year. Eddie did because he graduated. And so he and I worked together at McGill, but I knew him from playing ball at.
Yeah.
I'll say this about Eddie: if he could hit, he'd have been in the majors. He had a cannon of an arm,
really
unbelievable glove, super speed, but he couldn't hit.
Isn't that
this
crazy?
Thing right in front of me. And I'm sorry about that, son and daughter. But
yeah, whatever. They know how it is.
Yes.
He could hit a golf ball.
Oh, yeah. He could do a lot. He played
golf.
He
was a good athlete,
yeah,
man.
Whatever.
He was a good athlete.
Yep.
And a really good coach.
Yep.
Really good coach. I mean, in my opinion, you know, for what he did for our school with golf and basketball.
He was
man.
Good about going hunting people to come go out for the sports and keep them out and stuff.
He's a UMass guy too, man.
Oh yeah,
and, you know.
He bled a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was. He left a really cool example for mm-hmm. some of us that didn't know him, obviously, as long as you did. But Eddie was instrumental in getting you over here.
Yeah, he. I was at Blount, been there 2 years. I was at Theodore for one, then they had the Bernie Mae Davis case, mm-hmm. and they shifted everybody around. And the principal at Theodore called me in and said, "You know, we have to take you're the." Youngest one on the staff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like the military. You're the youngest one. You have chance for a school. So I go to Blount. I'm there for 2 years, a baseball coach there. And Eddie called me up and said that Joe Dean was here. Mm. And he had Chuck Norman. He had mm-hmm. Tommy Luke and all of those guys.
Yeah.
And Don Kelly.
Wow.
That was a staff.
So let's just talk about those names real quick. I don't want to lose the story because I don't know if all our listeners even know. So Tommy Luke. Son,
was
the head coach at Ole Miss. I know, right? I mean, I think he's at Georgia or somewhere now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously,
yep.
Chuck Norman is Tiffany and all the Norman girls. They, you know, we have two of them working here.
Yeah,
he was an Ole Miss guy, right?
Yep,
Mr. Chuck was. Coach Dean,
he was a state guy, Mississippi State guy.
Is that right?
Pretty sure,
Joe.
Yeah,
I thought he was an Ole Miss guy too, man.
I don't think so.
I could be wrong, but anyway, he ended up over at Fairhope.
His personality, I don't think.
I think it fit him perfectly.
Well, no, it fit him good. I don't know if State and Ole Miss.
State and Ole Miss.
Yeah, the personalities are quite the same.
That's
Joe's
kind of incredible,
of coach,
though,
too.
Man.
Yeah.
Some of those guys that you were around.
Yeah. And we played flag football together. So I knew all of those guys
mm-hmm.
and when I was at McGill working in college. And so they basically released the whole staff.
Mm.
And so Eddie called me up and said, "Hey, there's going to be a an opening down here." And I said, "Well, okay." And he said, "Well, why don't you come over here and apply?" And my dad knew Colonel Huckabee, and so that got me in the door too. And he said, "But it's a track job." I went, "I don't know anything about track." So he said, "Well, you know, you just stay with the track for a year or so, and, you know, you can end up with the baseball." So I said, "Okay, we'll do that." And I had some good kids at Blount. It was hard. It's always hard to leave the kids.
Yeah.
And but, you know, I had a chance to come over here, and I got here and started doing the track. I say that all the time, but, yes, I was reading books like crazy, I remember there was a kid, Mike Delaney. There was a couple – that was a good team because Coach Kelly had him.
Yeah.
And we're still chasing a couple of those teams' records that he had.
Wow.
Now, you know, you had Rayford and Radcliffe and those guys. And then he had the quarterback, David Pierce, and these guys when I came in. And all of that. And so I'm way behind the ball there trying to shoot. We went over to Murphy, and one of the kids, he ran like a 204 800 meter, and I didn't think anybody could run a half mile in under 3 minutes. And he ran that, and I thought he was a god, and he got beat. And I'm like, uh-oh, I better start reading more.
I better start turning the page.
Yeah, but he was really good, and, you know, that was kind of my introduction into better get on the stick with the track.
Well, here's what I do think, because I've had these conversations often, and, you know, obviously it takes you got to know the content, right? It's just like teaching in a history classroom. Like, I know you're a history major and you love history and love to talk it and teach it, but, you know, you can get that content, you know, if you're willing to turn the page and read the books.
And
but I also think that really good leaders, really good coaches, can just about coach any sport or just about lead any, you know, because it's the manner in which you do it, right? You let kids know you care about them. You build those relationships. You help them see the importance of what they're doing, why they're doing it. And then you hope that becomes internal for them. You know, I think you would have been a really successful coach any field that you went in. Because I think you carry that same mentality in everything.
But, thank you.
But thank you. I don't know that you'd have won 70 plus state championships.
Well,
if you've been a baseball coach. I mean, I'm just saying there's a lot more
probably not.
That's amazing.
Probably
anyway.
Not. Because we did real well at Theodore, but I had some talent there. And we were pretty good at Blount. We had one pitcher, which that doesn't do you any good, you know.
Yeah.
And we could knock the heck out of the ball. We'd score runs, but, you know, we were throwing my second baseman or something.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And they'd score more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we played pretty tough out there.
So that's your intro into track and field, and that's crazy to think about. So, you know, Coach Galley is a Hall of Fame member for the state of Alabama. He's been a National Federation Coach of the Year multiple times, Coach of the Year, obviously for the state of Alabama, in several different classifications. You know, and like I said, literally countless state championships. And I know those things matter at the time. I mean, we all have goals that we look for. We like to win UMS, right? We like to win. But I also know from talking to you and from balking in your office, those things are not what drives Pat Galley, right? I see way more pictures of you standing at whatever meet from however many years ago, 25, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Those are what are prominently displayed when I walk in your office. Some of your state championship plaques are stacked on top of each other at the end of that nasty couch. What it says to me, though, is that it's about how you got to know what you saw in individuals throughout that time. Those are the things that I think you and I have talked about before that mean the most to you.
Yeah. It is so much fun to see somebody go from point A where you ask them to come out to, you know, as far as they go in their career. I just remember one kid whose mother taught here, and he came out and he was mediocre, you know, 2 years mediocre, you know. And his senior year, you know, he came out and got a little bit better. And then we got to the last two meets, the section meet and the thing, and he PR'd all the way through the county meet, the section meet, and the state meet. And he just walked out of here, you know, just feeling so good about it and everything. And, you know, it was just fun to watch him and, you know, do that. And it's just so many of them have done things
countless
like that.
Coaches.
Plus, like, you know, you're talking about Bancroft, McMurphy, and them. And you got a kid there that, you know, he was good from the seventh grade up. And, I mean, you know, just had that strong heart, kind of like his daughter. Mm-hmm. And he was going to do whatever it took. Ran in the summertime. I mean, competitively, ran on a national level and that kind of stuff. And, you know, you have those kind of kids, too. You know, the Perry's here now.
Yeah.
And those kind of people. And, you you know, got I talked to Alice Johnston Parker, who's now up at Briarwood, which is interesting because when she was here, that was our big rival. Well, she's coaching up there, and her two girls are, you know, she went on and ran. I mean, Alice ran in college. Now she's coaching up there and doing a great job. I heard her the other day. She did a podcast for Briarwood.
Okay.
And she sent it to me. And she said I was a football, baseball coach that treated them all. I said, come on, Alice.
She was on your staff here, too.
Oh, yeah. She did a great job. She
did
a great job
up
there.
She was tough. Yeah. Oh, God, she was tough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how she competed.
Yeah.
Too. And, but I mean, you see those kind of people and they go through, and Greg Hope, Robert's brother, he's working over at Spanish Fort and working, coaching over there.
It's really just kind of amazing to think about. I know that it's impossible to remember everybody. I mean, it is, but it's cool to hear you talk about some of those that I can kind of remember. You know, like the Brooke Geralds of the world.
Oh,
I mean, have you thought about her in a long time? I mean, she was a She was pretty dang sporty too, right?
Oh, heck yeah. She went to Tuscaloosa, and she probably could have gone somewhere else and run. And she just, she should have been on their team up there, and their coach was in the process of leaving and never gave her a chance. And that was right when pole vaulting was coming in. She'd have been perfect. I called the coach up several times and said, you know, hey, this is one.
Oh, that's cool.
She drove all the way in every day from McIntosh. Drove in, practiced the last one. Her dad told me, I said, because he worked all the meets for us, raked the pits and did all this kind of stuff, drove her down here and stuff the whole time. And she was a hurdler. She was one of the last ones to leave practice every day. And I said, hey, you coming back next year? And he said, no. It's the last time you're seeing my truck go out of the driveway. I said,
that's a commitment, driving that far, you know, every day.
Yeah.
She and her brother both.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
what is it? Can you articulate just, and you said a few things today, but I just want to know, why 50 years at UMS, right? Or UMS and now UMS, right?
I wanted to be here with you.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Seriously.
I did save your life.
I know.
If you didn't know me, I'm not sure what would have happened.
I know.
A couple of times. I think I saved it on the in Cowan Swamp on the Tom Beebe River one time as well.
I thought our boat was going down.
It was going down.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So anyway.
Eddie Holmes and I, we'd be out, out at practice or something like that, or out here on the PE field and everything. We'd be talking about something that was going wrong here at school, all this kind of stuff and everything. Then we'd look at each other and go, what are we, nuts? This is a super place to work. The kids, you know, they may do crazy stuff. Yeah. Kids are going to be kids. But, you know, they're going to bust their can for you most of the time and whatever we want coaching-wise and everything. And, I mean, they're all, like I said before, the teachers here, they have that standard and everything, and everybody's trying to live up to that standard. I don't think anybody is, you know, going around trying to tear their standard down that stays here. You know, there's been guys here who buck the system. Boom, they're gone. You know, you buck the system. You're just not going to survive here because everybody else fairly much likes the system. So you've been to other places, or I've been at other places where, you know, those kind of kids, they get their little niche going and they can thrive and stay. Here, that little niche, you know, that kind of stuff won't stay. And I don't mean it bad. I mean, we have individuals there, you know, everybody's doing everything around here. You know, we've got people doing all kinds of stuff, as you said. But they do it, I guess, in a rewarding way for themselves, and it turns out for pretty much everything else. And it's the hopes. It's family oriented too.
Yeah.
And you know, you see the same people. I mean, the Hopes, the Rayfords, the Fooses, the Plashes. Yeah. You know, I mean, you can go on the Garsteggies.
Yeah.
All these, you know, folks. They're coming through the Stimsons.
Yeah,
there's thousands of Stimsons here.
Sure.
Yeah.
I better
say the lads too.
The
now,
lads,
the lads, yes, look, lads, I mean, lads, and my daughter, they went to school and they were best buds. So you
had a daughter graduate from here. You had a wife who was a teacher here, and then you've had three grandboys graduate from here.
Yes,
as well.
And I do need to mention those because I've done the halftime things that I always forget. I've got Patrick, named after a great guy. And then I've got McKee, my oldest grandson, and then Williamson, who is a sophomore up at Alabama. Now, all three of them have gone through school here from the very get-go. All three of them have been on state championship teams, baseball and track. Williamson, the baby, finally got on the track team.
Last year.
Yeah.
Two years ago.
And another two played baseball. Williamson played football also. And Corey's in the Hall of Fame here.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband, Trey, was on a state championship baseball team here.
Wow, that's deep, man.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And Barbara taught here.
Barbara taught here.
And then came back. I mean, she's been on two
She's been here a couple of times. Yeah, she goes.
She's bailed us out a couple of times.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But I will say this about Barbara teaching here. She started off teaching at St. Paul's.
Okay. I don't think I knew that.
She was smart as come and switched. And she was also won the state championship coaching at St. Paul's, their first track state championship.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. So.
I had no idea. That's.
I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Never mind.
The coach at St. Paul's, good friend of yours.
Oh.
UMS Jim. Guy, Jim.
Jim Tate, yeah. I just think it's funny that she won the first state championship over there. I used to tell him that, too.
So you and Coach Tate, I'm sure there are others. But when I think of track in the Mobile area, my experience, just being here, being around UMS for the time that I have, that's when I think of track. Those are the two names that come to mind. You and Coach Tate, what y'all have done with those programs, and the amount of kids that you've had that have gone on.
Yeah.
Some to compete, but again, like I say, more like they're leaders of the communities and stuff, and so.
Yeah. Most of them come out with a sense of purpose, and they're gonna do something, pretty much.
I love the concept of it being, nobody's gonna bail you out on a 3 mile run. nobody's gonna stop, and you may get a thing of water, but you may not. But also, so you run that for you, and then you've got to be able to take 3, 4, 5 scores, whatever the case may be. Somewhere in there, you might, that other people are dependent on you too, and learning that lesson that, you're not in, very few of us have ever been put in a cubicle and said, okay, go solve every problem on your own. That just doesn't happen most of the time. First of all, I don't know very many people who are smart enough to do that. I'm certainly not. So you've got, there becomes that dependability on somebody else, and learning to do that, right? Learning to trust that. I think that's a big part of kind of what I've seen with y'all's program. Y'all had like 75, 80 kids out there every year?
We had 72 out there yesterday without the basketball.
I saw y'all. I saw you when I was leaving. Yeah. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, so we'll pick up a few from the
basketball.
So
who do you have helping you now?
Garrett Schumacher, this is, I think, his 12th year.
Yeah, crazy good athlete right at South. Yep. He was a track guy.
There's a funny story, too. I mean, he goes out there as kind of like a middle distance, cross country kind of guy. He ends up being a decathlete. He's all Sunbelt, and he's never pole vaulted in his life. Ends up like 15 and a half foot pole vault.
He's really athletic too. Garrett is.
Basketball player.
He's really, really good at throwing darts too. I'm just saying. I've thrown darts with him a time or two, and I have not fared well with him.
I didn't know that about him.
Well, my point is, he can probably do just about anything.
Yeah,
pretty dang good golfer too. Garrett is. It's amazing. Oh yeah, Garrett. Really? Yes. Huh. Yes. Like he just really kind of started playing.
Better than me.
He's a little better than you.
Yeah.
He's better than a lot of us. Like, hadn't even been playing that long. When he goes out, he's just a better athlete. He's younger.
Yeah.
That back moves better than ours.
But yeah, like, can bring your club all the way back.
Yeah. Bend down a marquee ball.
Yeah.
So.
Then we got Brandon Dean.
Yeah.
Who's now been with us. He's working 20 years now with us. And
he handles a lot of the throw events. I know.
Yes.
I guess. I mean, he always did when I was out there with my son. You know,
he does the throwing events, and we kind of pawned that off on him at the beginning because he could get the football guys.
Yeah,
because he's a football coach too. He ran for us.
Right.
And he was a hurdler. I mean,
I didn't remember that.
Not too many people would picture Brandon as a hurdler now, but he was a little bit thinner.
Younger.
Yes. As you said, more flexible. But he ran the sprint type stuff, and we turned him into a 300 meter hurdler. And he made the state meet as a junior, and then he got hurt in football his senior year, tore his knee up, and didn't get to compete in track next year.
Have you written all this stuff down anywhere?
Have I written it down?
Yeah.
No.
Well, I think it would be something to consider.
I'm just going to take this podcast.
Well, we haven't even scratched the surface, man. I knew they were telling Allie and Avery. I was like, we're going to go with it, but people are going to go, hey, why didn't you ask him this? I'm like, y'all, you you can't wrap up 50 years in an hour. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
We talked about the guy Santa the other day, and they had the thing with Charles.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll just write down some names of some distance runners that have been here. And I wrote down about 15 names, just guys.
Yeah.
I just went, do, and I went, holy cow. Yeah. You know? And I mean, I'm looking at some of these guys that they were studs.
Well, man, I mean, I see it every year, and you know, just about every year, if not every year, in our Athletic Hall of Fame, you know, we induct male or female, you know, because I remember you doing those every year. but, I mean, you know, you talk about Kelly Cutrell, the Gilmore girls.
Yeah.
Lazarchik, who was here this year. I mean, like, you know, it's an exhaustive list. I mean, you were going to forget Willits. Everybody. Huh?
The Willits.
I mean, the
Robert
Willits.
He's a national champion. I mean, a collegiate national champion. I mean, you know.
And even, you know, the pole vaulter at Tulane, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, just saying.
Lives right down the street.
Yeah, lives right down the street. Doug's daughter. I can't even think of her name. Anyway, so just – It's overwhelming to think about. It really, really is. And our kids start running early here.
We try to.
I mean, you know, like they kind of grow up even like in elementary school stuff, right?
We have those programs to try and hook them a little bit. I mean, we have so many programs here that, you know, they can't do them all. And they want to do them all.
Yeah.
So if you get them young, they can try them out and kind of see what they like and, you know, go that way. But I think that, I mean, they should try them all, especially when they're young. What the heck? Yeah.
You know, what did you do when you were young? So, I mean, obviously baseball. Played baseball and football and basketball.
Yeah. I gave up basketball when they didn't let me jump center.
I do understand that. I gave it up like in RAs, you know, in middle school.
I did jump center in our college short man's team.
Me and you and, posting up on the block.
We can do that.
Yeah. What do you hope what are the parts of this organization, and because I value your opinion, obviously, but what are the things that you, if you could say, Doug, look, man, just make sure we don't lose this. What would it be?
Oh, all right. I would say what we were talking about, the family feel, F-E-E-L, of that type of thing. And it's got to keep that feel without, I mean, everybody says, oh, you know, so-and-so's playing because his dad's here and all that. But that's every school and everything. But it really doesn't happen like that. And as long as it stays like that sport-wise now, but school-wise, as long as we keep the faculty involved with, you know, and we keep, you know, I don't see any of those people up there, you know, not interested in bringing those kids along, you know, helping them along as much as they can, you know, and you know, that's what I do in my study halls when I.
Well, you are the AP study hall teacher, are you not?
Yes.
Are you the study hall department chair?
I'm the dean. Yes. You know how many times I've been the head of the PE department?
Every year that I've known.
Yeah, I know. People go, they hadn't fired you yet. I said, I've been fired 4 times from being the head of the PE department. I'm like, man, you know, come on.
And you're not even a PE guy. You're a history guy.
I was a history guy. I know. Well, they fired me from being a history guy.
Well, I understand. But, you know, some of your – I've watched you years past on stage competing against our kids in Scholars Bowl, and you would hammer them, man. I mean, you would hammer them. And I'd be so proud. I'm like, dang, golly. But so I know you like history and you like to travel, like you said. You know, you got to go.
Oh man,
Project Engage last year. You got to go where? Where'd y'all go?
We went to Greece.
Greece, man. And you had not been?
No.
Yeah, it was cool.
I've not been. No. Well, I mean, been to Foley. Just you know.
So was Greece fun? Were you glad you?
Oh heck yeah! It was a lot of everything was uphill. Those people.
It's like you just walk uphill the whole time.
Oh god! They carried boulders with them. Everything was huge. And on the top of a mountain.
Wow.
And, like, I don't know how there's, I mean, seriously, how do you, they're protecting themselves and everything else, but I don't want to carry a 10-ton boulder up the hill. And, they're still going, I don't know how they did it. And I'm like, I don't either. Yeah. I mean, don't know why they did it, but.
I'm sure they had a reason.
Greece was fun. Yeah.
Greece was fun.
Oh, yeah. Supposed to go to Germany this year.
Missed that trip, but that's all right.
Didn't make that one. Yep. Yeah. Still here. So.
Still here.
It's better than going to Germany and not be here in a snowbank somewhere.
Are you good health-wise now? Feeling pretty good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. As good as I've been in the last
30 days.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Get that retread, you know.
Mm.
Dr. Phillips, he said, see you in 15 years.
Good. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How many of your grandkids you got back in town now? Any of them moved back?
Yeah.
I know Patrick's back, right?
McKee is as well? He's
okay.
Both of them are here right now. McKee is getting married.
Okay.
He found a girl, stayed with him more than, you know.
Hey, man. Like, we understand that.
That's why I told him. I said, you better grab her.
Yeah, we understand that.
She hung around with you for more than 2 years. Well, she was stuck during COVID. She couldn't get away. So he tricked her there. So what the heck? And he's getting married this fall probably. And Patrick's here in town. Williamson's, being a college boy.
Mm.
Yeah, which is pretty good. I might even go up. I've never been up Tuscaloosa while they've been there. And so I told Williamson, I said, hey, I'm retiring. I'm going to come up and stay with you for about a week.
Oh. And he said, come on. What do they call you? What do they call you?
Pop.
Pop, yeah.
Yep. He said, yeah, come on, Pop. I won't be there, but come on.
You'll know a few people around there, Coach.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That would be good, too.
So you and Tommy are going to spend a lot of time together, hanging out, playing golf, and or fishing, whatever you're going to do. Let's kind of share with the audience one of the things that, because it's kind of a big deal. I really like the little gift that you got in the fall of this year.
Yeah, that was
in November. Wasn't that a cool little deal?
It was a cool deal, and it was a big surprise.
Yeah.
Yes. Very nice shotgun that, my car broke down on the way to the dogs on the hunt, and so I'm going, oh man, I didn't know anything about this.
So I did. I was trying to get you there so I could do it beforehand, and I was like, where is Gally, man?
This is the only year that I took my car. Every other year,
I've ridden with somebody. Yeah.
And so I didn't get to ride with anybody this year, and I'm, thought, well, heck, it doesn't start to whatever. I was going to be there early because I've been there.
Yeah.
And so, just overheated the antifreeze. The line broke, actually. So I'm pouring antifreeze in like crazy. I'm in the, come on.
I've been there. I'm not laughing at you.
Yeah, just laughing with me. Yes, certainly. Yeah. But, yes, and then to get the gun, and that was pretty cool. Exciting. Yes, yeah, it was cool. Beautiful gun,
it
too.
Is. It
beautiful.
Is.
Sweet shooting gun, too, because I got to shoot it that day.
Yeah, we actually took it and broke it in right there and went and shot. And,
yep. I hit two or three of them, too. That was even better.
God, that's a whole other conversation about that.
That's always a conversation.
Golly.
Yes.
But look, man, I don't propose that this conversation is going to shed any light on anything that people may or may not know. What I do want them to know is the amount of time and energy and effort that you have given to this school, and that it matters greatly, not only to the individuals with whom you've had a chance to interact, but also all of us, who came here while you were here. And, I always felt supported, accepted in a lot of different roles that I've had with you. And that's important to me. And I know that it's important to a lot of people, because the name Pat Gally is synonymous with a lot of things, with winning, with track and field. But most importantly for me, it's synonymous with UMass Wright. That's the way I want, that's what matters to me. I'm glad that you and Eddie Holmes, Terry Curtis, Tony Havard, I'm glad y'all are on our side. I mean, I just think that's an incredible legacy, and it gives all of us a chance, all of us much younger guys, a chance to, but to live up to that. Cause that's why I asked you that question. I want to know, you know, hey Doug, watch out for this, or make sure you keep doing that. You know, those things, as you said, you know, you change the way you teach every day. You change the way you coach every day. If you don't, you're not going to be effective. There's different ways you have to interact with people on a daily basis, and really great people who have longevity, which is an understatement for you. That's what you've done. And I know people appreciate that and want to say, Coach Galley, a job well done. Have a great end of the season, you know, end of your last run as the head coach. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to be locked out. We're not going to do a right of trespassing against you or anything. But you deserve that too, right? You deserve some hanging out in Tuscaloosa or going to the hunting camp or getting stranded and saying, hey, Doug, you need to come get me at
come
one.
Me again.
I can do that in the middle of the day.
Yes.
Don't
at one,
that.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Like
in the middle of the
year?
Yes.
You're like, oh, I got to go get Galley.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do that.
Yes.
I don't mind doing that. But seriously, it's you're an inspiration, brother. You really are.
Well,
and I'm glad to have worked with you and to know you and to see the example that you've set.
Well, I'm glad that Colonel Huckabee took the chance
wow,
with me.
Wow, isn't that crazy?
That was... It's interesting. People don't know Hanks and Huckabee and Henson, you know, except for the old ones. But, I mean, people like I'm talking to
yeah.
here,
yeah.
those guys. Those three guys, that was interesting. I mean, I came in as 24-year-old, I guess, coach, and I'm working with those guys. Those guys have been in World War II, and Henson didn't really talk to me for the first 3 years I was here. I mean, you know, hello, how are you? Good morning, that kind of stuff. And I forgot what it was of, and one morning he just stopped me in the hall and started talking to me about baseball. I said, ooh, I might have a chance here.
Yeah.
Yes, but great guys, great guys. And,
important,
yes.
Important to know
and,
them.
And the tradition that they were carrying on is what's going on still. That's what you were alluding to before. What should we keep doing? Keep that idea of, you know, where the school came from, and as long as it knows where it came from and keeps going in that direction, I don't think it'd be any problem. I mean, you know, with the people that we talked about, those family names and people that we're in here, and we joke about them, you know, being this, but those are the kind of people that love the school and have been here through the generations. And, you know, they're going to see it through no matter what. And that was the other thing, you know, like Coach Holmes went to school here. I mean, you know, and he had that love of the place from the get-go. And, and I do too. I mean, I didn't go to school here. I mean, I'm a McGill boy, and I always claim that, but I'm from UMS.
Love it.
So,
love it.
Yeah.
It's been awesome, man. I told you we would knock an hour. How are we on time?
Good.
So, again, you know, first time, hopefully, Avery doesn't have to edit too much of our video. Hopefully, we didn't do anything inappropriate, but that would might be the first time.
Hey. I mean, with two pretty faces like this, what can I do? You know, what do you mean, edit?
God almighty, Galley, it's going to be rough without you, buddy. It really is. Before I let you go...
You know how many sets of keys I have, man?
No, I don't even want to know. We don't even use keys anymore. Throw all that stuff away. We don't even have... Probably one key you have opens everything now. Why do you have 75 keys?
I've got the one that the security guy said opens everything. No.
The security guy, Garrett?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to say his name. You know, why somebody might hold him up. You know. See, there's two Garretts now. We have Garrett with a gun.
True.
And
Garrett with a
yeah.
With a stopwatch.
Yes. Yeah.
Garrett's gonna move into that position, into your position when you retire.
I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's good.
Yes, he is.
He's been under you. As
there's that problem.
What's the one thing you're gonna miss the most? I know you're gonna miss a lot of stuff. I mean,
I always call it Friday Night Lights. It's always, you know, that's funny because you think football and everything, but it's like putting a puzzle together and see how it works, and being with the, like we talked about, seeing it work for somebody and seeing their reaction to it.
That's nice.
You know,
done it for a lot of people, man. I mean, you're a wizard with the pen, and what y'all have done to win and getting people in the right, whatever you call it, you know, the right positions or the right events.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm pretty sure even when my son came out, he wasn't just going to throw the javelin. I mean, you know, I mean, he didn't come out to throw the javelin. You looked at different things and you found something that said, hey, this might work because of whatever. I mean, that's just, golly, it's so important.
Speaking of stuff like that, all right, Stephanie Reeves, Reeves. All right, she comes out, she pole vaults, but she throws a javelin for us. She's like, you know, 3 feet tall.
Big.
Yeah, she's javelins dragging on the ground behind her. And I mean, it's not like she wasn't any good at it. She was, you know, one of the top ones in the state. And
I think about Sarah Morse, then goes on to the Naval Academy, serving our country now. Yeah. But she's state champion record holder in javelin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
threw it at Annapolis.
I mean, that's just, that's what I'm saying. It goes on. I mean, you could sit here for literally days and think about different
people popping
up. And I don't know that I do that for every sport. I don't think I can. Maybe it's because your sport's so big, there's so many involved. But there's something about track and field that there's just something about it. It's a unique sporting event. I really, really like it.
Yeah.
I liked the meets when I was watching my kid do it. I liked it. You know, it was relaxing, but I mean, it was still intense. I was just as nervous as watching him, you know, play baseball and football. But there was just, I don't know what, it was something different.
It's competition. It's head to head always.
Yeah.
You know.
That's really cool.
Yep.
Coach has been awesome.
Hey.
Thank you, my man.
It's always
and
fun.
Not gone yet. It's just February when we're recording this.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't get the rest of the week off. You got to practice today. You got 72 kids out there. I still expect you to go and do really well this year. And, you know, this is not a lame duck kind of deal. Let's finish up the way we need to.
Well, I just heard the bell ring. It's my off period.
Oh, congratulations. It's not off period. It's work period. You know that. You don't have an off period. You have work.
To
do your stuff.
My
to go
planning
get ready.
Period.
Well, go to
Excuse
your planning.
My planning period. Yes. Yes.
Avery and Allie. Avery, thanks for all your work setting this up.
Yes.
Hopefully people are okay with this. Y'all respond to Allie. Don't send anything to me or Coach Galley. Hurt our feelings. But we've enjoyed being with you. Love having Coach Galley here today. You see him, pat him on the back, shake his hand, and do me a favor and say thank you. Because at this point, it's really what we should do. Because he has, to use the track analogy, set that bar really high for our students, for our faculty, for our families. And for that, we thank him. So until next time, this is The Right Way.